welcome to the Sports Fathers, episode 34, recorded on the 4th of September, 2014. So you're saying there's a chance? In today's show, we talk about the CFL, the East versus the West, expansion news in the NHL, the NFL is about to start, and the Blue Jays are almost out of the playoffs. All that and more next. And here we are in the month of September. I'm Father Daryl Millett, today in the magnificent city of St. Front, Saskatchewan. And I'm joined by Father Andrew Schoenberger in Cold Lake, Alberta. Hello, Father Andrew.
Hello, it's a pleasure to be here with the master of hyperbole, Father Daryl Millett.
And I'm also joined by Father Jeffrey Young, also located in the magnificent city of St. Front, Saskatchewan. Hello, Father Jeff.
Good evening, good afternoon, good night. I don't see you later.
And by magnificent city, how many houses are in St. Front?
How many houses or how many people?
Sure.
I think there's about 15 houses and there's probably 10 people. Really? Well, there's 12 now because we're back in town.
So. Oh, and I brought my dog too.
Yeah.
So... So I'm visiting Father Jeff. I'm at his rectory. I trucked all the sound equipment out here and we are recording an episode. I know it's been quite a while. Hey, summertime, we were all out and about, but now we're back to record and there's been an awful lot going on, especially up here in Canada. Now in Canada, we've got the Canadian Football League. The preseason begins in early June. The season began towards the end of June. And so now we've actually gone, we're basically at the halfway point of the CFL season. And of course, that's a huge interest for all of us, especially in Western Canada. Now, the first thing I had in mind with this CFL season is that there's this year, especially a real disparity, isn't there, between the Western teams and the Eastern teams. I mean, teams that have won like only two games in the East are in second place in their division. And with five teams in the Western Conference, there's actually a really good chance that whoever shows up ends up fifth in the West will be better than just about any team in the East and will still miss the playoffs.
Yeah, it's just feasibly you could have, right now, like with 9 or 10 games played by every team, you could have the East Division champion being like, at the end of the year, like 7 games under 500 or something like that. It's just going to be ridiculous playing against a team that could cross over and be 7 games above 500. And I think you're going to have a Western dominated playoff this year, but
to be fair, the West has dominated the league for many years now.
For sure. But yeah. I mean, I guess what's changed is Montreal's decline and then Winnipeg's been transferred to the, because Winnipeg's done okay for the last couple seasons, and now they've been moved over to the West. And so, I mean, really, there's not much going on over there.
Like, other than when Toronto got a certain quarterback traded to them a few years ago and then won the Grey Cup shortly afterwards.
Sure.
That'd be Ricky Ray traded from Edmonton. Who did Edmonton get for him?
Absolutely nothing.
A new mascot. Yeah.
And he's still with Toronto. And I mean, if Toronto didn't have all the injuries they had, you know, to Chad Owens and Andre Dury and that, they'd probably actually be pretty good. But yeah.
Yeah.
But actually, I will take it back. I know I'm not a big fan of Grant Shaw, who is the only asset that they got from Toronto in the Ricky Ray trade that's still with the team.
Yeah.
But He has played decent in the last couple of games I saw him. It wasn't his fault for things going wrong, but I was not impressed with him last season at all.
He didn't miss any last second field goals yet this year. Last year, of course, the Labor Day Classic and the week after Labor Day, I think, didn't he have a chance to win both of those games and he missed the field goals or at least one of those games?
I can't remember.
Blocked out of his memory. Blocked out of his memory.
But let's put it this way. I went to the game a couple weeks ago against Toronto, and I was talking to my cousin. I said, I hope that we never have to kick a field goal.
I mean, to be fair, there's been a few that have been struggling. Chris Milo's had a bit of issues this year. Yeah. He likes hitting the post a lot, actually.
Yeah, he's good at that. Too bad he can't get paid to do that. But
it's like back when playing hockey, if you didn't have a goalie, you'd play posts.
Yeah.
And that's when you couldn't hit a post for the life of you.
Yeah. And part of it is Milo did so well last year. Like he had a streak, I think, of I don't know what his percentage was at the end of the year, but he was like 40 straight field goal attempts.
He was close to Paul McCallum's record, I think. He would have, I think he missed it on the one that he would have tied the record.
Yeah, so he's sort of, in a way, it's hard to contrast it from last year. But, I was going to ask you, Father Andrew, when did they, Mike Riley, though, didn't he come over in the Ricky Ray trade, or was he just the backup that they wanted to use?
No, it was Stephen Giles that came over in that trade.
That's right,
and
Giles.
Anyway, that's another story. But Mike Riley was a free agent before last season.
Mm-hmm. Right.
From BC, because they decided they were going to keep Lule. So Riley became a free agent. Edmonton signed him. And then it was between, they were going to figure out whether it was going to be Riley or Nichols who were going to be the starter. Nichols had another injury.
Yeah.
So took him out for the season. So Riley had first string quarterback. And then this year we have Nichols back as sort of a second string. And, he's not doing too bad.
Yeah.
Right. Because Riley was hurt for the last game, correct?
Yes. The last two, really. Last because two. The beginning of the game, the second play of the game against Toronto 2 weeks ago, someone stepped on his wrist.
Oh.
So basically he was out for the game. And he thought he'd be back for the Labor Day Classic, but that didn't happen. So he still had a bandage on Monday. So hopefully he'll be there for the game on Saturday. But that's what happened. Okay. And hopefully Fred Stamps comes back. So, Edmonton with their first string quarterback and best receiver.
Could be a little different than it was last week and when they kind of got blown out by Calgary.
Yeah.
Actually, I mean, they didn't play terrible. Calgary was actually playing really well.
Beat them the last like 9-10 games or something like that.
Yeah. It's like the Winnipeg Blue Bombers trying to play in Regina. The Riders, I think, have won, the last 8 or 9 straight?
Yeah, I thought it was like 12.
Something like that, yeah. A crazy amount straight in Regina. Now, in Winnipeg's another story, but...
Oh, we'll be winning.
We'll be winning this year. Is that a guaranteed win? Is that a guaranteed win for the Riders this year?
I don't know what that means, but yeah, that was one of the stupidest moves.
So let's set this up. Okay. So there were a couple weeks ago, Saskatchewan Rough Riders were playing in Vancouver, the BC Lions. And the Rough Riders, as they've done a few times in the last decade or so, they decided to buy a rather provocative billboard outside of the stadium of the team they were going to play. And in this case, I think it said green is the new orange. The Green Riders, the orange BC Lions, green is the new orange. Kind of provoking the fans a little bit and having some fun. So was it the president of the BC Lions?
Yeah, the owner, president.
Okay. So anyway, so they made a rather bold statement that they were guaranteeing that BC would win that game against the Rough Riders. And then BC lost.
Yeah. Okay. So originally when I heard that, I was just like, well, that's one, it's insulting, and it's also just going to backfire. If you win, you win, I guess. But no, what it was just a marketing ploy, because they basically, BC had a bye week after, and then they're playing like Ottawa and I think Toronto or Hamilton. So like two games that they know they're not going to get any ticket sales. So what they said was that they're going to guarantee a win. So anyone that goes to the Rider game, which is going to sell because half the people there were Rider fans anyways, they get free tickets for the next game. And in a way, it's kind of smart, actually, because if you win, you look awesome and you get a win and you get more people in the seats. If you lose, those people, if they even come back, they got free tickets that probably wouldn't be at the next game anyways because of the gimmick. And then they're buying, they're buying merchandise and beer and all that. So it's actually a pretty smart plan because they just knew that no one's going to come watch the Ottawa former Rough Riders get beat up by BC. So it's actually kind of I kind of get what they were doing, but... when I heard that, I'm like, oh yeah, the Riders aren't going to lose this game because
it's just total motivation for the Riders now.
And that's what happened. Like they pretty handedly took BC down, but
yeah.
I just had there the, is a there is a famous, there's a couple of famous guaranteed wins, but the one that comes to mind was when Mark Messier guaranteed the win in 1994 Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yes. Versus New Jersey, I think, right?
Yeah.
They needed to win to stay alive or something like that.
Conference final. A hat trick in that game.
Yeah. And I mean, they won the cup. So, hey, that one worked out pretty well, but he didn't promise free tickets and stuff.
No, he just guaranteed a win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's Mark Messier. Okay.
We're not,
the BC Lions are not the Edmonton Oilers and they're not.
it'd be a little different if like Travis Lule guaranteed a win, you know, it'd be kind of like psyching his own players up. But when your owner or president or whatever guarantees a win and he's not on the field.
Well, that was the best comment. I think it was one of the players mentioned that. It's like, it would mean something if, but last time I checked, owners aren't playing the game on the field. So he might be psyched up for the game, but I don't think his players can measure up to that. So it was good. It was all fun, but that was a really good game, though, that Lions game. It was one of the more entertaining ones.
Probably one of the best touchdown catches we've seen all year, too, by 310-pound O-lineman.
Yes.
Dan Clark.
And that was the only touchdown pass. The only touchdown there was only touchdown altogether, offensive touchdown by the Riders, and they won the game, which is just amazing.
It was very defensive.
And it was by the heaviest, biggest guy, slowest guy on the field.
Oh, he dived backwards. And
yeah, that was awesome.
And, you know, give a nice little earthquake in the stadium when he landed.
Yeah.
I've seen him pull down a touchdown once before. It's a pretty cool play because no one expects it.
No. It's like the Spanish Inquisition.
Exactly. Yeah. 310-pound Dan Clark.
Exactly.
No one expects the Dan Clark touchdown. But, you know, getting back to the point, though, that you were saying, Father Jeff, about the one with only one offensive touchdown. That's been kind of the hallmark of the year, hasn't it?
Yeah. Like but the defense is putting up points. Like, so...
And they're like the only ones putting up points.
Yeah, our defense has been exceptional. And I mean, that's not new. I think whenever we've won or been either the Grey Cup there recently or making to the finals, it's our defense that's sort of propelled us beyond other teams. But Durant just has to kind of weather the storm and keep control of the ball and not turn over too much, which he did. And the issue is, you don't always outscoring the opponent. You're just... outliving their stupid mistakes. And that's what we've been doing.
He's been managing the games well, Durant. But I mean, like league wide though, I've got a stat here that some smart people compiled. So last year, 2013, the average points per game were 52.4 points per game. This year it's down to 45.27 points per game. So
one less touchdown basically per game.
Yeah. I mean, that's quite significant because I mean, there have been some games that have been blown out, you know, blowouts. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And there's been some games that were basically barely into the double digits, like ridiculous, low scoring. Like I don't know what it is. If it's just the defenses are playing that much better, if the offenses are taking a long time to figure things out. It does mean for somewhat boring games, unfortunately.
You know what I think the difference is you got two teams. I'm just looking at the standings here. You have Ottawa, Montreal that have basically put up half the points for of any average team. So I think you just have two teams that are like, Ottawa came into the league and they just lowered the average because they can't put any points on the board. And
right. Expansion team Ottawa.
Yeah.
But if I'm not mistaken though, Father Darrell, didn't you say that Ottawa looks impressive and they're going to do really well? They're better than some of the other teams.
I think he actually guaranteed that they make the playoffs, if I remember right.
Yeah, but they got a good shot at that yet.
That's the irony of it.
They're playoffs with four wins.
Yeah, they're 1-8 and they're only one win. They're one win out of a home playoff game. That's what's so bizarre. They're 1-8 and they're one win out of a home playoff game. That is so messed up. CFL has to get rid of the divisions. They just got to have one division, one conference, and just have the top teams make it. Because
they should just left Winnipeg in the East.
They could have did that too. I mean, I guess what they're trying to do is set up for potentially maybe they'll get a team in the Maritimes or
Quebec,
I don't know,
or something.
Quebec City or Fredericton. They were talking about it or whatever, But yeah, you're right. They should have left Winnipeg in the East. It would have been better. You would have had at least one or two decent. I think Winnipeg and Toronto would have been the best teams out there. Hamilton can Hamilton's been underperforming. I think they're a better team than they look.
They looked actually in their home opener last week, their home opener.
Yeah. Hey, they've won every single game in their new stadium.
They have. So they had some serious delays in the construction of their brand new stadium. And so they've been playing. Last year they played where?
In Guelph.
And this year they played at McMaster, I believe.
Yeah. One of the other.
Yeah. Colleges. So they've been playing in these tiny little university stadiums. So now they're finally in their new home. It's not quite finished yet. I think there's still like thousands of seats they got to install. But they finally won their first game at home.
Nope.
They actually have a home now.
Yeah.
Halfway into the season. They've also had some injuries too. Like their starting quarterback, Zach Kolaros, was injured for a while with a concussion. So Dan LeFevre came in relief, and now he's injured. But now Zach Kolaros is back. So they haven't had a whole lot of continuity on their offense either.
Yeah. They're a good thing they got going. I mean, their only two wins, they've been against their division. So they got an undefeated record against their division. I think they could, as the year, I mean, and they're two games back from Toronto. So I think they'll take the East. They're a better team than they're playing, but, yeah, and then you'll get
they
a
cross. Have two games cross. On hand over Toronto.
Manish, yeah. You could hear in the background, yeah, my sorry. Dog was agreeing with you too.
Yes, the dog is attacking and licking me, and it's kind of annoying. So
he's walking around the living room here. It's great cool. for great visual for an audio podcast. Yeah. But my dog is walking around and licking Father Jeff's feet.
I'll maybe lock her up if this keeps up here.
You know, they're not going to. Well, Father Jeffrey, you mentioned that the league should get rid of the divisions and just have one. They're not going to do that because, especially if you look at it right now, you'd end up with all the Western teams in the playoffs and there'd be no excitement in the East. And that really, in a sense, would hurt the national flavor of the game. Not that I wouldn't love to see an Edmonton-Saskatchewan Grey Cup.
Which you might see this year.
Which you still could if there's a crossover and they make it.
I mean, honestly, I think the sweet spot this year in the regular season would be either to finish first in the West and get your bye and everything, or finish fourth in the West and do a crossover and have to go through the East.
Well, this might be, of all the years I've watched CFL, this will be probably the best chance for a crossover team succeeding because traditionally, I guess, I don't think there's never been a crossover team that's made the Grey Cup from the going over to the other side. No. So
I don't think there's been a crossover team that's made the conference final.
I think they have. How did it work? Okay. No. There has been one that won and got to the conference final. When Winnipeg played us in the Grey Cup, I think that was the first year that someone actually won. And that was,
let's just back it up a bit just to explain what the crossover is. So in the CFL, there's East and West divisions. And the way that the playoffs work is that the top three teams in each division make the playoffs. However, if the fourth place team in one of the divisions has a better record than the third place team in the other division, then that fourth place team crosses over, hence the crossover, into the other division.
So what the one question I got, Father Darrell, now that there's five teams in the West, is it possible for two Western teams to cross over in the East? Like I haven't.
It's not possible in the rules. No, it should be, but it's silly. Not.
Because we're gonna have, you're gonna have the fourth and the fifth place team in the West miss, and they're gonna be better than every
potentially
team in the
better
East.
than the top team
every,
in the East.
Yeah, so that's bizarre. They should change that for just until they get the teams evened out.
Now, there are a lot of, I guess in the second half of the season, there are a lot of Eastern teams playing Eastern teams, so they're going to rack up more wins that way. By necessity, someone's going to win these games, unless they all tie, I guess. But
well, they can't. Well, tie. There hasn't been a tie for like once
since the Rioters and Calgary about 2000.
That was a great game. Oh,
I was at that game. So that was Henry Burris playing for the Rough Riders, and they tied that game. After two rounds of overtime, it was still tied, so they left it.
Yeah.
It's like 53-53 tie or something. Anyway, so the CFL is moving along. It's been, if you like defensive football, then you've been in for a real treat because the defenses are playing really, really well throughout the league for the most part, more or less.
Yeah.
In the West, anyway.
a lot of turnovers and a lot of sacks. Like, like Saskatchewan, John Chick has been on pace to break a record, I think, for CFL sacks in a year.
Speaking of John Chick, did you see TSN? I'll put this in the show notes. They had a feature before the game, the Saskatchewan game this last weekend. John Chick, a defensive player for Saskatchewan. He's a pretty, from what I understand, a pretty faithful Catholic guy living in Regina with his wife and their seven kids. And they had a really neat feature about how, about his life and how his family's important to him. And they were shown saying grace before meals and all that. It was a really good feature. Well done. So I'll put that in the show notes.
Yeah. They were kind of teasing him on the air when he was, spouting off, after a sack to the, to the camera he was talking about. It's like, oh, and we're excited. We got another baby on the way. And the commentator's like, she's like, John, you have enough now. It's like seven kids. But God bless him. Hey, he's good model, and family's important to him. And So he was talking about, I mean, because he's on pace for a record season, and they were saying, oh, you have dreams of going to the NFL, or you would be good enough to go to the NFL. And you know, he's like, I'm going to decide that based on what's good for my family. I'm not going to, and he's happy in Regina, which is great. So,
It was a really inspirational story. So check that out. It'll be in the show notes over at thesportsfathers.com. The other big story in the league, or at least in Saskatchewan, which I'm sure really interests Father Andrew and everyone who's not in Saskatchewan.
Saskatchewan out my window.
Yeah, that's true. You can. There's a new acquisition in Saskatchewan, a new old acquisition in Saskatchewan last week. The Kansas City Chiefs, basically, I don't know if they made themselves a bunch of fans out of Saskatchewan or what, but they let go of Weston Dressler. So Weston Dressler had been a dominant receiver for the last few seasons, and he went down to Kansas City to try his luck in the NFL. Didn't get a whole lot of playing time. And to be honest, he's a little small for the NFL game. But on the bigger field in the CFL, he flourishes. So he's back in Saskatchewan. I guess a whole bunch of restaurants were offering him free blizzards and free sandwiches and all kinds of stuff to try to entice him back to Saskatchewan. So he was a really popular guy here.
Yeah, I forget his height. I think he's about like 5'9". So
I think he's my height, like 5'7".
5'7" even, yeah. So he's one of the smallest guys. But anyways, he's got very good hands and kind of came back. And like, I think he got re-signed by the Riders on like Tuesday, and they practiced maybe for a couple days, and he was playing on, we had a Sunday game. Yeah. But they're like, they were saying, well, he won't have time to learn the new plays, like the playbook for this year or week. And they're like, well, you don't really need to learn much. You just basically Dressler go deep. that's all you need him to do. And they, he did fine. He got three catches for about 10 yards per catch. So
yeah, pretty good. He almost made a deep one.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think he's quite in game shape. So if he was in game shape, he probably holds that in, but he outstretched and just missed it.
Yeah. I think that might just be, Part of just getting back into the sync with the rider system. I definitely would think he's game shape. Like the intensity of the preseason, the tryouts for the NFL would probably be even more intense.
Well, he didn't play much.
he was in the training camp and the practice. Yeah,
but actually playing in a game versus practice is a little different.
NFL is pretty tough. It just getting in sync with Durant again. But next week, I think this week you're going to see him have a huge week. Yeah. They'll set up some plays with him and everything. So,
Speaking of NFL.
Sorry. I was going to say, and too bad you're not going to get Corey Sheets back in.
So Corey Sheets was the other dominant Rough Rider offensive player who left for the NFL. And from all accounts, he was actually having a pretty decent preseason with the Oakland Raiders. But then... did he break a bone or did he?
No, he suffered a torn Achilles heel.
One of the most painful injuries in the world. Yeah.
So he's out for the season. Yeah. So too bad for him.
Yeah. But I like Corey Sheets, but to be honest, the Rider success running last year and even this year, we're doing fine. It's the O-line that they make the holes. And And Sheets was quick and had some good, very agile. But frankly, we got a good running game because we have a strong O-line. And when the O-line suffers, even Sheets was having bad games when they weren't blocking right. So yeah. To be honest, if I could get one of the two back right now, I'd rather have Dressler because Duran needs help with receivers he can trust. And some of the guys have been struggling, like Taj Smith has not been so great, even Getzlaff and the Swain, and they're really slumping offensively. They can't get much for passing.
Yeah.
So that Dressler's the best to have back.
And in fairness, it's like the rest of the league.
Yeah, sure.
But speaking of the NFL, so the NFL season starting up this weekend already. How have you guys been following their preseasons at all?
Just a little bit, but actually I think it starts tonight the first game Thursday, which is bizarre, but yeah, no, I haven't followed too much other than the odd CFL guy down there and how they're doing, but yeah, it should be a good season.
No, I haven't been following it at all.
So yeah, we are really close football fans.
I think the plan is we'll get our American cousins on next show, and we can do an NFL preview.
Absolutely. Father Kyle, Father Corey, all you guys, you're on deck.
But how about this for a segue? So the Seattle Seahawks won their first Super Bowl.
Yes.
But there's talk about NHL expansion, maybe even to Seattle. Isn't that right, Father Daryl?
Nice segue. Yes, actually, yes, Father Jeff, that is totally correct.
Good for you.
Good for you. So, so the NHL, I mean, it's the summertime, so not a huge amount of NHL news. But there were some rumors that there were some potential plans in place if everything fell into place, that the NHL could expand to as many as four places to make a 32-team league, or 34-team league, I guess.
I think they're talking about two more.
Okay, two cities. Out of the four.
Yeah, and okay. They want to get them in, preferably two more in the West, because right now the East has two more teams than the West.
So one of them, going back to your segue, was the city of Seattle.
Seattle.
Which would be, I mean, I think the issue there is a rink. An actual NHL caliber rank, is it not?
Yeah.
They don't have one.
So there's basically a condition been made by the city of Seattle that they are willing to build a rink in collaboration with an ownership group. And there's a lot of, I'll be honest, billionaires out of Seattle, like from
Bill Gates,
Apple. Yeah. And they've showed interest. So the money's there. The city is willing to work on a rink, but their condition is actually that they build an arena, but they need to both get an expansion franchise for the NHL and the NBA basketball team.
Oh yeah,
to bring back. They used to have what was it, the Supersonics or whatever.
Right.
But so if they can get both an NHL and NBA franchise, it's very very likely that they'll get a team in Seattle. I think that's the most likely of all the talk I've heard, because the money's there, the city's kind of behind it possibly, and. And it's a good location, it's in the West.
It's in the West. It's like an automatic rivalry with Vancouver.
Yeah.
I think it's a fantastic location.
Yeah. So that one is, I think, I'll be honest, I think Bettman and the NHL, they had that in mind. Because the way they set up the two extra teams in the East, I think they've been, and they move, even with moving Winnipeg out West again, I think they had this in mind to add two teams in the West. And so we'll see what happens there, but
even in the NHL, Winnipeg bounces around.
even in the NHL, the West, NHL, NBA, like every league, the West part of the continent, North America, is dominating the East. Like every single professional league, which is bizarre. Football too. It's like, what is good? Why? What? Well, the West is best. We all know this. Okay.
I wonder if it's the travel. Do you think it's the travel? Because the West gets used to traveling longer distances, so
sure,
especially in the playoffs when they meet, they're already used to that travel.
I would agree with that, but why then the regular season there's such disparity? Because there is definitely other than I would say Boston kind of dominates the, but yeah, the travel theory is good. I would agree with the playoffs. I think that in one way is they're just more affluent markets, and I think because they're not, there was always more teams in the East. I think the cities that do have teams out West seem to rally behind their teams more. I don't know.
But even like in a salary cap era,
yeah,
like the CFL, it's salary cap, a very low salary cap, you know, NHL salary cap, LA wins the cup.
Yeah. Okay. Well, my theory on, okay, I'm going to just speak on like a team like LA or teams in the West is because, and okay, and the proof of my argument here, I'm just coming up with this on the spot. My proof of this is Edmonton's lack of success, and with me, no disrespect here, but the teams that are in the East, they have like a media, they have a lot more coverage. They have media markets. Sometimes they're so extreme, like the Leafs and so forth, that they are always trying to do like fix the team quickly. They're always trying to, they don't always have the patience to develop like through the draft or through the processes that take 5 or 6 years to build a franchise, like a franchise team. So they sometimes they're under more of a microscope, where then the teams in the West, like a team in LA, when it sucked, no one really cared in LA or outside of LA. Right. And so they had guys like, they have Dean Lombardi's the GM there. And they kind of like, they built through a systematic approach, and also smaller market teams, but even before the salary cap, they kind of did that. They had to do that too. But Chicago, for example, is not a small market team, but they spent 8-10 years building the team that they have now, which is essentially a dynasty team. LA has got a dynasty team because they were allowed to rebuild the team finally. Whereas a team like Toronto, a team like Edmonton, even in a way, which Edmonton had, I think, a little bit of a legacy that they were trying to live up to, but they
haven't had a whole lot of continuity up top, I don't think, in Edmonton.
They have bad management in Edmonton. And you know why? Because they have that legacy, which is good, but they hire a bunch of old boys, old Oiler guys that really aren't qualified to be doing what they're doing. But anyway, I don't know. I'm just coming up with this theory as we speak here.
I wonder if there's an Edmonton fan on the podcast who has a theory about Edmonton, the Edmonton Oilers.
What's lacking? What do you think, Father Andrew? Well, what's wrong with the Oilers?
Before I actually give my input, I'd like Father Jeffrey to speak a little bit about Calgary's success of late.
Success? What Calgary is doing in rebuilding the team, I actually think Calgary could be rebuilding in the next 2-3 years, and they could probably have success before you even see the Oilers make the playoffs. Because the Oilers have been they've had a lot of high picks. They're obsessed with wingers for some reason. They got more wingers that can score than anything else, but they didn't build. Okay, a team like LA, Chicago, all the championship teams, they have strong center cores, good defense, and good goaltending, right? Wingers, wingers you can find. But the Oilers have an obsession with wingers, and they were taking the best players for the most part in the draft, but they could always use those picks, or they could have used those guys and marketed and built a more solid team down the middle, and they never have. That must be you, because I don't have a phone in my house.
That's my phone.
So the part of the issue, the Oilers, they picked really high. In some ways, that's almost like their downfall, because they take the best guy, and there's been a lot of skilled winger kind of guys, but they gotta shake things up. They gotta trade a guy. Maybe a Yakupov or someone like that, and get a little bit more. They need a solid center core. I guess
center and defense. You kind of almost got to build from the backside out, because the year when the Oilers made the Stanley Cup final, I mean, they had Chris Pronger.
Yeah,
like their defense was as solid as anyone in the league.
Yeah, when they've had success, they've had decent defense. I remember seeing something, Father Andrew, like where the Edmonton Oilers hadn't drafted a defenseman for, I think it was 20 some seasons. Like if the last, I forget what it was. It was in the early 80s. The last time they drafted a defenseman, until they drafted, what was the guy last year?
Yakupov?
No, defenseman.
Not
Klefbom, or maybe it was Klefbom. Oh, whatever. He was the first defenseman they drafted in like 25 years. In the first round, which is just kind of, that is bizarre if you think about it. Like because in the 80s, yes, you score like crazy, 9 goals a game. You just keep getting that offensive talent or whatever. And the goals, you just outscore your opponent. Even their goaltending when they had their dynasty years was not that good.
Well, they had Grant Fuhrer.
Yeah, and he's a Hall of Famer.
I mean, it's hard to judge the 80s because everyone was scoring
sure, maybe goals. That's not fair to Führer, but I don't think Führer was one of the better goalies even of his generation, but he was okay. You just needed a good goalie.
Well, he was on the cocaine or after.
Well, I no comment. I don't want to get sued. I was about to say something.
And Andy Moog was a pretty decent goalie as well. They really had two starters.
Yeah,
I mean, but then again, like Charlie Huddy, Paul Coffey are all Hall of Famers as well.
Yeah.
Both defensemen. Of course, Paul Coffey was definitely more offensive in scoring goals.
And he was one of the higher scoring players.
Yeah. But I mean, what would you say is the biggest, like, what's the biggest issue with the Oilers? Why, like, they've been rebuilding for like 8 seasons, right? And they have a lot of high picks, more than any other team in the history of the NHL, like top first round picks. What's your biggest critique of them? Because you follow them the closest.
Well, before I comment on that, which I will, and before the phone rang, I was going to make a comment. Because here in this episode of the Sports Fathers, you heard an exclusive. Father Darryl's my witness on this. Father Jeffrey Young has declared that the Calgary Flames will make the playoffs before the Edmonton Oilers.
I'll actually take that. I'll take that wager.
He stated that.
Something wrong with that structure. Let me put a caveat here.
I never said that.
If they don't trade, they don't shake up the young group of kind of like privileged little speedsters, and they're all good individually. I love, like, one of my favorite players is Eberle. I love all their whole talent system. There's just something that's not structured right, and I think unless they make some significant trades of those core guys, those winger kind of core that they have, I do believe that the Flames rebuild will be more successful and quicker than the Oilers. I'll say that. First of all, I don't think either of those teams is going to make the playoffs in the next 5 years. Like, the West and the Pacific is so tight that I don't think any team, either of them, are going to make it. But I think 5 years from now, I think the Flames will have a better team than the Oilers. I can make that promise.
You guarantee that?
I guarantee. Look, I'm going to put this out here.
Okay,
if I'm wrong, the first day after the Oilers make the playoffs before the Flames, I will give free tickets to my church for Mass, okay? And free hot dogs and beer after. Okay.
So, how do you counter that, Father Andrew?
Father Darryl, you better go and. Well, I wasn't actually taking it. He made that statement.
It's on podcast. It's going up on the website, and
No, I know, but we might have to put it in our phones 5 years from now. and then we can double check that, and then say, "Hey, you. This is the promise you made."
Here's what we'll do: we'll ask our loyal listeners in the year 2019.
In the year 2000,
check back with Father Jeff.
Basically, the guarantee is that I think that unless the Oilers change, I believe the Flames might make the playoffs before them. Okay,
did you just hear yourself? You said, "I guarantee that."
Not the
I
guarantee. Did. He had a guarantee, kind of jokingly.
That was the CFL guarantee. Yes.
The way this started was, I do believe, I concur that I might say that the Flames will make the playoffs before the Oilers unless something significant happens in Edmonton. And I'm not like, okay, there's Oilers and Flames like fans. We just hate each other. I actually want to see the Oilers do well. I'm trying to figure out what's their problem. Because frankly, also, I hope Calgary does so they don't do the same problems. They're not. They're drafting centers. They're Monahan. They drafted.
Now that I've railroaded the whole conversation onto Father Jeffrey there for a couple minutes. I haven't been following as much as I should. I will admit that right now. But you do have a point that, you know, there's only so many strong forwards you need, especially, I mean, it's not all wingers. Yes, we've had Eberle, Hall, and
Hall's not a Hall. Oh yeah, sorry. Okay,
but Brian Nugent-Hopkins is a center.
Yeah,
I mean, I know they've tried to. They were experimenting with putting Hall in center.
That's what I mean. Yeah, they've tried to bump him over, but I don't think that makes sense. But
I mean, Justin Schultz was signed and not drafted. But
yes.
I think there was a question about whether or not they really should have went for Yakupov and maybe should have. Went for, it was Ryan Murray at the time, who came second.
Yeah.
I mean, then they would add another young, solid D-man. I mean, they ended up getting Justin Schultz instead. That doesn't mean they couldn't have possibly got both of them.
Yeah.
I do think they need to work on tightening up their defense and their blue line. But I don't know. You know what? I'm not going to claim to be an expert on it. They're going to do a better job than I would do, because I wouldn't. I'm assuming, and if they're not, they should be fired.
So what I hear is, unless they make changes, you're guaranteeing that they will make the playoffs before the Flames, even if they don't touch anything.
I never.
They just
said
keep
that
drafting
all.
First and second overall every year.
Actually, I never said that. I never made a guarantee whatsoever. Actually, you're putting words in my mouth. You did, though.
I did not make a guarantee. Father Darrell literally put the words in my mouth, and then I took the words and said, yeah, I'll guarantee that, because that's what men do. They make promises for things that have no, they have no control over.
I don't know if you can hear in the background my dog barking, but we're...
she's in agreement.
I think she's my dog's in agreement.
She said, arr, I concur.
See, the thing is yes, that Yoda. Anything could happen. I think Edmonton is overdue to make the playoffs, and there should have been some chemistry building even last season. That should have actually probably got them in, even if it was only like 7th, 8th spot. I think they should have got in, but the chemistry didn't gel. So therefore, you know what? I don't know what's going to happen next year.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope it's going to be positive now that, I mean, they have
decent goaltending. That's one
decent goaltending.
Decent. I still wouldn't say that the goaltending's solved, but like they got Scrivens now, right? And Fast. So, yep. They're okay, but they're still, I don't know if that's going to work, but we'll see.
Well, I mean, that's exactly right. We're going to see. I would love to see Edmonton and Calgary both be strong teams again. Of course, Edmonton being a little stronger than Calgary. so that there actually would be a battle of Alberta and not just party on ice.
See, that was one of the best things about the hockey in the 80s was strong battles of Alberta. Those were awesome.
Well, even Vancouver was strong back then. So like that playoff divisional, and we kind of have that again. I like that with the playoffs. I mean, they got the wild card thing, but you got to play out of your division. So, but I just looking at the way things are in the like Pacific division, I can't see Calgary or Edmonton. Well, firstly, not succeeding in the playoffs for at least 5 years, but maybe they can. One of them could. I think Edmonton could slip in.
Yeah,
but I don't see them going far for at least a few years, just because it's so. It's the hardest division in the hardest conference.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be like Edmonton versus LA or something, you know.
Yeah, like you got LA, San Jose, and Anaheim, who will be better than Calgary, Edmonton for at least 5 seasons. Like, there's nothing going to change.
Chicago and
Yeah, and then the Central, you got Chicago, St. Louis, Colorado there's a team that was able to rebuild in really just about 2 or 3 seasons.
Yeah,
and but I think they're going to take a step backwards this year. They overachieved last year, but
So the whole segue into this whole conversation with the NHL involved Seattle. Now there is another city that has an NHL caliber rink almost finished. They're scheduled to finish in 2015, and that is Quebec City. And so I wouldn't be surprised if we see some move into there again.
Yeah. I believe it's pronounced Quebec, but go on.
Okay. Je ne parle pas le français.
Yeah.
And neither does Father Jeffrey.
Yeah. I'm making fun of the Western pronunciation of Quebec.
The other rumors were for Las Vegas, which I had no idea, but apparently there's like a 1,700 or 17,000 or 18,000 seat arena at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. There's a hockey hotbed if I ever heard of one. And then the Toronto area, like Hamilton or somewhere else in the greater Toronto area, to possibly have a second team. And I don't know if you heard that. My dog was whimpering in the background, and I agree.
Yeah. Well, okay. One, a second team in Toronto would succeed. It would make a lot of money, and it would be good for the Maple Leafs for the reasons I was talking about earlier with competition helps build better teams. And some of the focus, the limelight being off of the Leafs is actually probably going to benefit them to actually run a professional organization rather than right now. Right now, they just...
Don't hold back. Let us know what you really think of the Leafs.
They have so much money and so much privilege, And like even the players, good players go there. I mean, that's where you go for your career to die, because it's just too much. And so, I don't know, another team I think would be good for them. And so Toronto and Seattle, I would say, is the realistic realistic option.
Quebec, if they can get an ownership group together, Quebec, well, that's, I think, the problem. Has,
there is no,
but they have money, the hockey in fans.
Quebec City.
They like have the hockey fans.
Yeah, they got good fans, but the issue with Winnipeg, the issue with Quebec, was never the fans, and it never will be. They're always going to have good hockey fans. The issue is the money, and then the city, like Quebec, has a certain tax structure that is very, very tough. And like, if the city wants to build a rink and have a lease agreement or whatever, but they also don't have, there's not a lot of big money families. Like with Winnipeg, they got like Thompson, who's one of the richest men in the world, to be involved. Quebec City doesn't really actually have any. That's why they lost the team. They didn't have the money there before. So that's an interesting interest, because you got to have like all three things. You got to have a city that wants a team and doesn't try to tax the heck out of them. You need to have a very wealthy owner that loves hockey and also runs a professional business. And you need to have the fan support. They have the fan support, and maybe they might have the city support, and then they just need an owner. So yeah, I'd love to have the new Nordiques or something come back, because still one of my favorite jerseys and teams in NHL history. So,
and that was a fun rivalry to watch too.
Montreal and Quebec. Yeah. That'd be my wish would be Quebec, and I wouldn't mind Seattle, but I don't think the Vegas thing actually would be good. Any professional teams, they've failed in Las Vegas, and they're not.
Not that they've had a whole lot. I mean, they had the Las Vegas posse of the CFL. Yeah. What else have they had?
They had arena football that's not been good. Okay. They've had two football. But the thing is, they've done, okay, like Winnipeg, for example, to regain their their expansion option, they needed to build up a strong International Hockey League team, right? So they had the Manitoba Moose, and they showed that IHL, then the AHL. They showed that they could make money and they could fill good seating. And then the NHL says, okay, look, this is viable. So they've done things. They've had AHL teams or IHL teams in Las Vegas. They've done things like that with the NFL, the arena football, and they haven't been very successful, because there's not actually a lot of people that live in Las Vegas. I mean, there's some people that stay a long time in Las Vegas, but they don't live there, and they're not watching sports, all right? So there's sort of some problems with that, but kind of cool, like, as far as big owners, like the one guy that had interest in putting an NHL team there was Jerry Bruckheimer, who's kind of interesting if he owned a team. Like, it'd be pretty incredible show, that's for sure. But
no kidding.
Yeah. So anyways,
Las Vegas Pawn Stars.
Yeah, Vegas would be pretty cool, but I don't think that's kind of that's a dream scenario. I think Seattle is more viable. They talk about Kansas City, for example.
I guess they have a rink. They have a 17,000 plus seat rink. Yeah. So they do have the facility, and they've got, they're 4 hours away from St. Louis. You know, so again, there's a little bit of a natural rivalry there. And I think that also helps to build up interest, but
I think Kansas City is more like a city like Columbus, that like they're very big college football, they're football people, and in Columbus, even with decent teams, they're not exactly they're losing money. Like, so I don't think Kansas City would be a good place, but you never know. I mean, I think really Seattle, Quebec, and then another team in Toronto are kind of my go-tos. But
well, 32 teams is nice for as far as a conference system, four divisions.
Yes.
It's a good number.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on. We've been talking a lot about hockey and a lot about CFL. Just very briefly, the Major League Baseball. Now, Father Jeff, I know you've been watching an awful lot of this. We really should have had Father Corey on this one for this part.
Maybe we can follow up with a MLB NFL series next show.
Sure.
But I guess I'm obviously, we've got just the one team in Canada, and as much as it pains me that they're in Toronto, I follow the Blue Jays. This is the most baseball I've watched since I was in grade two when they were winning the World Series back in the 90s there. So, it's good. And Toronto, I mean, they had about 80-90% probability making the playoffs in January, February. Now they got about a 2% chance, but
you're saying there's a chance?
Yeah, I'm saying there's a chance. It's Dumb and Dumber there for your reference. good movie. Watch it. It's good retreat-like movie to watch when you're. The Blue Jays aren't out of it. They've won four straight now. They're playing Tampa Bay again tonight. And the good thing about the Blue Jays, all I got to say is it's possible, because they're playing Orioles, they're playing Red Sox, Yankees. They're playing teams they have to beat. And if they go on a little win streak, that they could win the wild card, but it's pretty much a long shot. But pray for our Blue Jays. Pray for Edwin Encarnacion, who has a really cool incarnational name. And pray for Jose Bautista and all the Dominican Republic boys there. Okay, because, it'd be great. Blue Jays haven't been in the playoffs since the early 90s. So
you're asking St. Jude to pray for what?
Yes, St. Oh, yeah.
Patron of hopeless causes?
In Latin America, it's Judas Thaddeus. They call him Jude Thaddeus, right? So, yes, they're a big fan.
Make a novena to St. Jude.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, thank you very much, everyone, for listening in. We'd love to hear your thoughts. If you've been following the CFL at all, what are your thoughts about how this season's going? How do you think the NFL is going to shape up? You think Seattle can repeat? What do you think about the NHL? Will Calgary make the playoffs before the Edmonton Oilers? Answer is yes. And what do you think about the Major League Baseball and anything else in sports? We didn't even talk about tennis. There were a couple of Canadians in the U.S. Open lately and lots of golf going on and all kinds of different sports. So what are your thoughts? Let us know. Head over to thesportsfathers.com. You can leave a comment in the show notes or find us on Facebook or Twitter and let us know. And with that, thanks once again for listening, and we hope that you have a great, it's already September, a great fall, and keep fit and have fun.
God bless, and good night.